The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air, find a place to offer up a silent prayer.
Welcome once again to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we are here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hey, Ira. How are you this week?
It's been a heck of a week, boy. I'll tell you what, but I'm doing really good today, and I'm really fired up, raring to go, and giving everybody a shot of positivity. It always makes my day, I'll tell you.
Awesome. Me too. So we'll jump right into sunny stories. This, obviously, with the Hurricane Harvey, we've been hearing a lot of stories on the news about people helping each other. So sunny stories this week was kind of a different twist. I thought it was cool, so I thought I would share it with everybody. It's about a Houston furniture chain who actually opened two stores to serve as shelters for families who were left out of their homes or forced out of their homes from Hurricane Harvey. Gallery Furniture announced its plan to open locations as shelters on Facebook over the past weekend, noting that the stores had food, beds, and clean restrooms for anyone in need. And the thing that I thought was really amazing was a new furniture store, you know, God only knows how much money in merchandise, and they welcomed pets. They allowed pets to come as long as the pets were kenneled and stayed by their owners. The company actually even sent out its biggest moving truck to pick up people who were stranded and bring them back to the store so that they had a safe haven. And the article that they put on Facebook mentions how they were thrilled to have Houstonians, you know, visit at their store and anybody in need in shelter who can get out of their neighborhood. There was also Mattress Mac, which I guess is like a subsidiary of their store, or maybe the company that makes the mattresses that they sell, invited the people to stay at their shelter. And I just thought that was an amazing gesture, especially, and we won't go down that way yet, but, you know, churches in the area didn't even open for these people. So I thought that was an amazing, amazing story, because you and I both know that virtually everything in their store is going to be non-resalable after people have slept on it and used it. And,
sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There might be some people though that will buy it just because of, you know, they were kind enough and willing enough to help out. There might actually be some people that are out there that would take the opportunity to say, hey, we'll support you anyway, you know? So that's a possibility, but you know, there have been so many stories of people's hearts coming out during this hurricane and the subsequent flooding from it. I'll tell you, it's really gives me hope in humanity again when that kind of thing occurs, because we see so many people offering themselves, offering their own lives to help people out, you know, to go and rescue them from these dangerous places. And I'll tell you, it's really amazing to see people coming together when something like this happens.
I absolutely agree. I've seen so many stories of this, and you know, honestly, Texas is known for that, for their compassionate mannerisms, you know, for their ability to help their brothers out, you know, their desire, I should say, to help their brothers out. I have several friends in Texas, and it's just, it seems to be a real community-oriented state, if that makes sense.
You know, it does, absolutely. It does, absolutely.
They take care of each other.
That's what I've seen over and over during different disasters that have happened, different events that have happened. It seems like with Texas, I don't know what it is with them, you know, but with Texas itself, you know, the community is much stronger there than it is in many other places around the country and around the world. I don't know exactly what it is, but there really does seem to be that strong sense of camaraderie and a willingness to help out when something happens.
Yeah, I mean, and I actually posted one on my Facebook about these guys that went out in a boat and were just rescuing the dogs that were stranded on top of vehicles and left. And
Yeah.
You know, and that, of course, really upset me that people left their animals. But here were gentlemen, you know, three or four guys out in boats just picking up dogs and rescuing strays that had been left. So, I mean, it's just, it's a very, very touching story. And like I said, you know, they may get somewhat of a, you know, maybe like a scratch and dent discount out of it for the merchandise to be resaleable at a, I'm sure, a much smaller margin than what it originally cost.
Yeah,
so
yeah, they definitely will lose money off of.
The anticipated loss for the company has to be, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, they're so definitely losing money with that venture, but giving out of their heart is a really good thing to do.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It really is.
So the next story that we have is Those Crazy Kids. And I like this one because it's about The Rock, who, you know, I love The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And, you know, he's my second favorite after Vin Diesel. But this was a story that was posted about a little boy who was 10 years old, and his name is Jacob O'Connor. And he found his little 2-year-old brother, Dylan, laying face down in the pool. And he pulled him out of the water and started to do chest compression, CPR, and saved his brother's life. And when they asked him where he learned how to do that, he said he found out about it by watching The Rock in his favorite movie, San Andreas.
You know,
I thought that was cute. You
I know a lot of people poo-poo on that movie, but I really love that movie. I'm a disaster flick freak, though. I love a good disaster flick. You know, Day After Tomorrow, I love that movie. Volcano, Deep Impact, all of those movies, man. The big old apocalyptic world-ending kind of movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
Well, I thought it was interesting that he was 10 years old and he had seen the movie. So
yeah.
His parents must be pretty liberal in what they allow the child to watch, right? But bottom line, I mean, he was watching CPR in the movie and picked it up. And,
yeah.
And how did he even do that? Like, he had the proper weight on the chest, the timing, everything. I mean, that is so cool to me.
It is.
That he had the rhythm going to be able to resuscitate. Because if you've ever taken CPR classes or first aid, you know, it's not an exact science, but it's not just hit somebody on the chest,
right.
You know, very randomly.
Right.
There's a rhythm.
There's definitely something
involved,
that you have to do with it. I definitely
yeah.
know it myself. I had to learn CPR because I was the head clown at the Red Cross in our local area. I was the lead clown. Surprise, surprise, right? But yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. I went out and volunteered with it, and we would go to hospitals all the time, and I was the guy that was in charge of all the clowns and led the parades and all kinds of stuff. It was a lot of fun to do, but you know, whenever I say that, nobody's really shocked at the fact that I was the lead clown. I don't know why that is.
Too funny. So check it out. The Rock actually found out about this story and invited the little boy and his family to come to his set for his newest movie. And I thought that was amazing, too, that he not only recognized the child, but, you know, brought his family out to the set of his movie so that he can meet them in person.
That is really cool.
Yeah, he's so cool. I
he
love
really
him.
Is. He's such a nice guy. You know, that's the thing. I've heard a lot of people, you know, that talk about different actors and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people say that Dwayne Johnson is genuinely a really, really nice guy. Like, everybody comes away from him thinking, wow, that I'm really glad I met him. He's a really awesome dude, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. So I thought that was very, very cool. Furry Heroes is... I know this one was a really awesome one, too. There was a husky that was formerly abused, and they actually, his name is Patriot. He was mistreated and scarred as a puppy, and now he helps children that are victims of abuse. So kids who have suffered physical or sexual abuse in Orange County, California, find the strength to testify in court with the help of Patriot, who understands the pain and, you know, of abuse and neglect. And he's got scars on his muzzle. And when the children see that, they recognize that and know that he's been through a lot also, just like they have. And the owner of Patriot, Kevin Marlin, who's 47, he adopted Patriot from the Orange County Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And the children will look at him and say, somebody hurt him. And he would say to the children, yes, somebody wasn't very nice to him, but he's doing better now. And so the kids can relate to that because they've been, you know, victims of abuse, and it helps them to relate to the animal because they can identify with the animal even more closely, aside from the fact that it's just a really, really beautiful animal, in my opinion. But the kids sit and pet him, and while they're talking to the lawyers and the investigators, you know, and it just calms them down and makes them feel more comfortable. The owner, Marlon, has been involved with pet therapy for the past 10 years, and he adopted Patriot back in 2012. He was 4 months old at the time, and he had the reason that he's got the scar on his muzzle is because he had severe injuries to his mouth that were caused by metal wire wrapped tightly around his snout. So he needed several surgeries to repair the damage for that. And Marlon took a very long time to regain Patriot's trust. He actually would put peanut butter on his fingers and let the dog lick it from his hands. And, you know, over many, many months of working with him, you know, he was able to finally pet him, especially on the muzzle where he'd been injured. And it took a year for him to be able to wear a collar again. So right now they work with Orange County's Panda Program. And it assists, they assist the needs of the DA. And he's one of 13 therapy dogs that help these young kids out to feel more secure when they're having to stand up and testify or tell their stories. And Marlon says that he remembers one young girl who was just beginning the process of a trial, and she was visibly uncomfortable until Patriot came over and nudged her with his nose. And the girl just grabbed a hold of him and cried, and they made a really strong connection. And because of that, the girl was able to move on and come out with her story. And then when she was finished with her trial, she didn't want to leave the dog, of course. So that was kind of bittersweet. But because of the fact that he was there, she was able to vocalize what happened to her and tell her story. So volunteers and their therapy dogs have provided child abuse victims with the support of gentle and loving dogs at 65 meetings so far in Orange County. And Marlon, his owner, says that he wears his scars, Patriot wears his scars, to remind us all about his story of survival and forgiveness, and that he's an incredible dog, and it's an honor to have him in his life and spend his days working with them. So that's that one.
I love the stories that are about these different dogs or animals that have been, you know, taken from rescue to becoming heroes. You know, it's really amazing how that happens. I saw there was a cat that lives in a nursing home at this point in time, and the cat is 15 years old. It's just, you know, it's just as elderly as those that are living there. But the cat goes from room to room to room every day, and will jump up and sit on the laps of the people that are there. And people will, like, they get up in the morning and they get, you know, they sit down in the chair or they sit in their wheelchair or whatever the case may be, and they wait for this cat to come along and jump up on their laps, and the cat will be there for 10 or 15 minutes and let them, you know, pet it and give it a little treat or something like that. And then, you know, the 15-minute appointment's done, it'll move on to the next room. It's really amazing how that cat does that, and it sort of does it as a response, you know, to the needs that it's seeing, and it's fulfilling its own needs as well. It's really cool to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, I love to hear stories about that, and, you know, they always make me emotional. Most of them do anyway, but yeah. So, Seeds of Hope. Trisha Belstra shared the touching story on a Facebook page, Love What Matters, which is one of my favorites. I tend to pick stories from there once in a while, in hopes that she can find the young man that wrote her this note. She says, I couldn't tell the story until now. I flew in on Southwest Airlines flight 1076 on August 18th. I was not looking or feeling good. I sat in my seat between two strangers, in a barf bag down below between my legs. One of the flight attendants looked at me and asked if I was okay. So I asked for some water, and another person brought it to me. Then this young man came by. I wish I would have gotten his name. He was getting drink requests. I asked for a Diet Coke and another glass of water. He leaned in and asked if I was okay. I told him I was flying back to bury my son. He said he was so sorry and brought me a can of water, a glass of ice, and my Diet Coke. The girl next to me offered to pour the water for me because my hands were shaking so badly. When they reached the landing, the girl helped her with her luggage. And then she goes on to say, as I'm leaving the plane, the young man who waited on me was standing on the landing, and as I walked off the plane, he stopped me and handed me a napkin and said he was sorry for my loss and that this wasn't much. I said thank you and walked out, she says. When I got to where I was out of the walkway, I looked at the napkin he gave me and cried. I had Father Mike bless him, and he said he was one of God's soul's angels. God's soul angels. So there must have been a priest on the plane that she was familiar with. But the note on the napkin says, in 2004, my family lost my older brother. As traumatic as it still is for me, I can't even pretend to truly know the pain that you feel as a mother. I did, however, watch my mother's grieving process, a process that will never end. Firstly, being a mother is about giving birth to new life as a promise to the future. Your mission doesn't end now. Your son's life is bigger than his death and always will be. My mom struggled desperately, chasing a faraway goal of somehow lessening the pain. As she has realized now, the pain hardly lessens. Don't expend your energy trying to chase this. Instead, go all out finding opportunities to experience joy. Visit family. Get closer to those you've lost touch with. Travel. This is your story, and you owe it to yourself and your son to make sure that you survive this. Do not pressure yourself. This world is full of hope, of people who truly care about you, even if it doesn't feel that way. I won't stop thinking about you anytime soon or how you're doing or what you're up to. You'll come out of this a stronger person, and I'll be rooting for you the whole time. So she wanted to share the story because she's hoping to get back in touch with him and to thank him so much for his kind words. She says, from a person who took the time to write this, not even knowing who she was. So I thought that was really a nice one, too. Very touching.
That is indeed. And with that in mind, maybe somebody out there will hear it and recognize the letter, you know?
Yep, that's why she shared it. She's hoping to reach him and get back in touch with him and, you know, have contact with him again and be able to thank him in person, which I think would be really cool. And, you know, with social media nowadays, it's quite possible that'll happen. So we hope for the best. We hope that she's able to have contact with him again.
Exactly.
Positive phenomenon is another hard hitter. This is about a little girl who technically drowned in a swimming pool. She's 2 years old. On February 29th of last year, Eden Carlson drowned. And she was underwater for 15 minutes, and technically she died for nearly 2 hours. And something about this little girl, miracle after miracle, against all odds, she was brought back to life. On the day of her drowning, her mother found her, pulled her out, performed CPR, and told her local doctors in Fayetteville, Arkansas, were ultimately able to revive her 2 hours later. Because of the lack of oxygen, obviously, she resulted in a severe brain injury, which left the child unable to speak, to walk, or respond to verbal cues. And she was in the hospital for 48 days receiving critical care before she was able to be discharged. 55 days after the accident, doctors began using a series of oxygen treatments to try and help her heal her brain. So to wake up her brain, the doctors gave her oxygen at a pressure higher than the general atmospheric pressure, increasing the amount of oxygen in her blood and repairing her damaged tissue in a sealed, pressurized, hyperbaric chamber. And in just 10 sessions, the mom says that the baby was back to near normal. She was able to walk and speak even better than before the accident happened. She was markedly improved in all of her neurological, motor function, and cognition tests. And an MRI scan 162 days after the incident showed that the child still has mild residual brain injury, but the cortical and white matter atrophy she suffered was nearly completely reversed. So I thought that was an amazing story. And
that
then
really
you'll
is.
Have to post the video in the link that goes along with it. It's really touching.
That really is amazing, yeah. You know, sometimes you got to wonder, what's the reason why one thing or another happens. And for me, you know, it's always everything happens for a reason, no matter what it is. You may not know what it is, but it happens for a reason. That includes when, unfortunately, children do pass away, and when they survive against all odds, against the, you know, these miraculous recoveries. Again, everything for a reason. That child is meant for something here. And now they know as well. That child, as it grows up, is going to know, I'm here for a purpose. I need to find that purpose, but I'm here for a purpose. My life isn't just, you know, blasé, stress-filled, whatever the case may be. No, I'm here for a reason, you know?
You know, and just, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, the ripple of the pond, you know, as I'm so fond of saying, the doctors that saved her, that were able, and the nurses, the people that cared for her at the hospital, that were able to watch her progress. And so many times with physicians, you know, because I spent so many years in and around the medical field helping people, you know, I've seen the guys walking down the hallway when they've lost a patient. And as much as they have to present themselves professionally when they're confronting the family to give them, you know, the news of what's going on with the person in their family that they just, you know, took out of surgery or just had expired, you know, they get hit very heavily by that. The doctors and the nurses are extremely compassionate as a general rule. And it hits them very hardly, you know, very hard, rather, when they have a loss. And so it may be even an instance of that as well, where, you know, a physician possibly lost a patient, or a nurse had been in critical care and seen the loss of maybe another child. So this could be something that's inspirational for them to keep them positive and keep them going as well. You know, the caregivers that are involved, and, you know, just stretching right out through the whole family line for this child. The people who responded to the accident, you know, I'm sure that at least in the area that I used to work in, you know, our guys would check up on the patients to see. They would go back to the hospital and check the patient's progress to find out what happened to them, you know. So it touches so many lives when we have a miracle like this that it's just, it's inconceivable to me when you think about it, how many people just that one story alone could physically have touched.
Exactly.
You know? So it's hope for everybody. You know, it's very, very cool.
It is indeed.
I thought that was a very nice one. So let's talk about happiness homework for this week. You know, it's kind of along the same lines. If you know a friend and that maybe is into, you know, the type of movies that you're into, and you have another friend that, you know, hasn't had the opportunity to come in contact with that person, just connect them. You know, take a few minutes of your day and connect two people that you know would be helpful or beneficial to each other. So, you know, if you're in the workforce and there's a friend of yours at work that maybe is looking for, and I hate to say this matchmaker term, but I'm known for doing this, as you know. You know, I try and, you know, if I have a friend that I know is really a nice person and, you know, she's looking for somebody and I know a person that's about her age that I think is a good guy, you know, I've done this before, you know, I'll say to her, you know, you should really meet my friend so-and-so. He's a really cool person and I think you guys will get along well. So even if it's a matter of someone, you know, searching for a job, you know, and they're out of work and you know somebody in the field in which they're looking that may be able to help them. You know, connect those two people up. Things like that. You know, if you're out, you know, walk in the neighborhood and you see a buddy that you haven't seen in a couple years and, you know, invite them over to the house for dinner and have another friend over that you think would have things in common with them. Stuff like that. Networking is really huge, you know, and it's not always over social media. You can do it in person. And it, for two reasons, you're able to connect two lives and hopefully that will be beneficial to each of those people, but you're able to socialize at the same time, you know, or at least extend socialization. You're getting off social media. You're spending time with people. You know, you're allowing two people to connect and talk over the phone or, you know, maybe have a cup of coffee together, things like that. Face-to-face is so important, and we're losing that in society today as a general rule. Everybody's on social media. They're texting. So it's another way to get people back in touch too, face-to-face and physically. And you never know. You know, I actually had a person just up the street that was looking for work in a field in which I knew somebody that could help her, you know, so I hooked the two of them up and hopefully she'll be able to get a job out of it.
There you go.
You know, I was driving down the street the other day and I was in a supermarket and I just started randomly talking to some guy online and he handed me his business card. And he's like, hey, if you know of anybody that's looking for work in this field, give them my number. You know, stuff like that, especially with the unemployment rates being what they are and people looking for jobs. You never know when you could help a person out.
Sure, exactly. You know? And the personal touch is such a drastic difference from, you know, just spamming someone in email or on social media or whatever. The personal touch is always a better route to go, no matter what you're doing, you know, whether it's trying to network for jobs or trying to network on a personal basis. You know, it's always the preferred method and it's always the most well received, to say the least.
Absolutely. And, you know, just another example, the other day, I knew a guy who had a new girlfriend and she was looking for somebody that needed help in the field that I do. She needed some spiritual warfare help and some healing work done. And, you know, just happened to, he introduced her to me and she started talking about what she did and what she was looking for. And he totally forgot about, you know, just knowing me as a person that that's what I did. So, you know, we were able to connect that way. You know, so you never know, you know, and it can always be beneficial. But yeah, that face to face is very important. And it's the matter of even a neighbor, you know, an elderly neighbor that maybe needs a kid to run errands or something or to mow grass. And, you know, children in the area, you know, that maybe go to school with your children or maybe your child would be able to do it, you know, and allow them to connect and it would be mutually beneficial. The kid can earn a couple bucks maybe or just do a nice deed for an elderly neighbor and she gets the help she needs, you know? So, again, a ripple in the pond.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what do you know about kudzu? You going to make a face at me over the phone or what?
So kudzu is actually one of the oldest plants remaining from the previous ages, dinosaur ages, so
come
on,
so
forth.
Webby. Give me what you got, and, dinosaur ages. Here we go.
it's said actually the kudzu is the largest plant because it's like one continuous. The biggest plant, the oldest plant in the world, is a particular kudzu. I think that's down in South America, if I remember right. And it's been in existence for thousands upon thousands of years. It's older than the oldest trees and so on and so forth. And it's massive. It takes up just so much space because of the way that it grows. But it's interesting. Kudzu is a very interesting plant by the way that it takes over. And it's said if things were to go out of control human-wise, you know, and nature was to take everything over, kudzus would actually be the primary plant species on the entirety of the planet.
Absolutely. Spending a lot of time in North Carolina, I know that local farmers down there absolutely despise it.
It's a very tenacious plant, to say the least.
Yeah, when they've got pastures for their cows, it, like in some areas, it totally takes over the pastures, and then the pastures become unusable because it grows so quickly. You know, and, you know, farmers work really hard for a living, as we know, and, you know, they're working, they're moving their cows, you know, from pasture to pasture. And, you know, it's definitely to some people a curse because it spreads so quickly. I know this old guy down there that, you know, he'll move his cows across the street and side to side on his acreage. And he's got a field that's virtually unusable now because the kudzu comes up. The cows, I don't know why, but his cows won't eat it. So apparently they don't think it tastes very well, maybe, or maybe it's just his cows. I don't know. But,
every time I see
the guy, he's like, cursing them out, you know.
Yeah, they don't need it.
Pastures. They don't like it.
No, they don't need it at all.
So Southern gardeners know that it's good for many ailments and has powerful medicinal properties. It's used to treat heart problems, high blood pressure, some conditions of symptoms of fever, headache, stiff neck. Some people use it for the treatment of allergies, for migraines, diarrhea. kudzu root tea is even used to help sober up a drunk. And that was one of the things that drew me to it, because I had an incident this week of a person who came to me for release of alcoholism. So, and there are discretionary articles about that. Some medical professionals will tell you that it works, others not. But if you're having a problem with alcoholism, you know, give it a try, check into it, do some research on it, because the articles that I read said not only can it sober somebody up that's drunk, or you know, but it also can help to overcome the addiction itself. And it's used in the treatment of addiction withdrawals. So the root of the plant is taken in powder or extract form. 9 to 15 grams of powder are given daily to inhibit the desire for alcohol. It stimulates the regeneration of liver tissue while protecting against toxins. And scientists say that 2 isoflavones, benzene and benzyne, are responsible for the properties of that. Also can help against hormone-related cancers, such as breast cancer and prostate cancer. It's got potent antioxidant properties, which is comparable to vitamin E in its power. Let's see. It originally came from Japan, so I don't know how it got here. Maybe Webby can help me with that. But
probably it was carried over on ships. they suspect actually it was carried over in the North America part of the world by ships that have been, you know, traveling around. The spores of it get onto the ships and that kind of thing. And then for the South American part of things, either they came across on ships in earlier times, or they may have been blown across the Pacific by different like typhoons and that kind of thing that have come up.
You have something for me. Love you, Ira. So, I mean, it goes really back to ancient Oriental herbal text, and the old writings tell about how it was used in the treatment of WEI, or superficial syndrome, Wei, I guess I'd call it Wei. Is that how you pronounce it? Wei. But it's been recognized as an important herbal remedy in the Far East for thousands of years. And in Georgia, legend says that you have to close your windows at night to keep it out of the house because it grows so quickly. It's become known as the mile-a-day plant. It's very, very coarse, high-climbing. It's a perennial vine. It's got really pretty, sweet-scented lavender flowers. Obviously, it grows better in the south than it does in its native land because of the temps. It has no insect enemies here in the U.S., so that absolutely helps in its growth process. The roots can actually become the size of a human. So a lot of areas in the south spray for it to keep it under control. Although, you know, if you have goats, you can keep it under control as well, because goats will eat it. So maybe I should suggest that to my farmer buddy next time I go down there. But it could take as long as 10 years to kill, even with the most effective herbicides. So there you go, going back to your heard that it would be one of the last surviving plants. I can totally believe that. So for a recipe, because it's the first Sunday of the month, we do, you know, a tincture or a tea or something like that. So very simple. I just chose a tea. And all you need is a cup of fresh kudzu leaves and 1 sprig of fresh mint and some honey. And you just simmer 1 cup of finely chopped kudzu leaves in 1/4 of water for 30 minutes. And then you strain it and serve it with honey to taste and a sprig of mint. And that's it. It's so easy. But if you are suffering from alcoholism, please research it and look into the benefits of the root for you. It may be something that can help you out, something holistic that can help you out, as opposed to being on a artificial substance, right?
Exactly. By far. Much better.
So Ira and I both are having issues today. He's got like, it's not a cold, but he's having throat issues, and I think it's probably because of lack of sleep. And I'm having allergy issues today. So if we sound like Bert and Ernie, that's why. I know that we're muting each other. We're muting ourselves as we, like, cough and clear our throats and things like that. So the lag tonight, I'm sure, is because we're, like, you know,
exactly.
Put ourselves on mute.
And all I can think of, is, hey Bert, how you doing? There's a problem in the kitchen, Bert. There's a cookie missing, Bert.
Of course, I got to be Ernie because I'm a short one, right? Listen, you want to go into Comedy Corner? I picked a couple of older ones tonight, but what do you think?
We can definitely do that. You guys hang on and have a few laughs. It's really good for your health, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Here y'all go.
It's 15 years old and it gets you. Are you married? How many kids?
Six.
Oh, God. One by one or a litter? You went to the hospital. Did you go to the hospital all six times? Did you? Why bother? The last four times you can do it yourself. You put down newspapers. You go. Oh, you wouldn't like to have a litter? It's fabulous. Have all your kids at once. Put down newspapers. Go. Keep the ones you like. Sell off the runs. Oh, absolutely. But all right, so how old are your kids? What do you call it? Real old? 108. 38 down, you look very good. So how old's your youngest? Oh, this is your kid. Oh, I thought you had a young lover like Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, okay. Oh, grow up. That's the style these days. No, because my kid is 15, which kills me, because now she's bigger than my bust size. You know why you had six kids? What's your name?
Mary.
Mary, Joan. Mary, you know why you had six kids? You probably had easy births. Did you have easy births?
Yes,
see, that's. I had a very bad delivery, Mary. I carried. Did you carry big or small? How big? How big, Mary? I carried so big when my water broke, there were fish in it. Okay, Mary, what about you? All right. When my water broke, it showed up on the weather report. Now, what about you? No. And.
Then they said. Then they said, okay, would you like to buy the extended warranty? And they try to scare you. They go, you know, you really should get the extended warranty. It's only manufacturer's limited warranty. And it's just for 6 months, and if that expires, we got to bring our guys in. And we have to bring our guys in for at least a week. Sometimes we have between two and four guys. We might have to send the TV to Japan. Could cost $80,000. You could lose your home. The TV cost $80,000 to fix. I would throw it away and save $78,000. Oh, I told you they didn't like me. And then the guy said, I just really think, this is just like everyone does, it's just sign here. I said, no, what do I need an extended warranty for? He said, well, in case the TV breaks. The TV's gonna break, I'm not buying it. His eyes went dead. Nobody had ever said that to him before. Nobody ever questions him. We just sign on the dotted line, and it's wrong. And I was gonna stick up for all of us. I said, the TV's gonna break, I'm not buying it. He said, sir, this is one of the best TVs in the store. Then what do I need an extended warranty for? In case the TV breaks. The TV's gonna break, I'm not buying it. It's not gonna break, you son of a bitch. Hold your voice down. What do I need an extended warranty? In case the TV breaks. Just buy the warranty. You got the money. I saw you on Last Comic Standing. That wasn't me. That was Ralphie May. You can't even keep your big guys right. Now, what do I need an extended warranty for? He just said, shut up and sign. I said, get your ass outside. We went outside and we fought.
Man, I love John Finette. He's awesome.
I know. That's why I did him again, because I had so much fun with him, and we love him. So we did him last episode, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to continue on with him.
He's
what do you think about Joan Rivers?
Oh,
Have
Joan
you ever
Rivers.
Been a fan of hers?
Yeah, Joan Rivers. You know, I never appreciated Joan Rivers when I was younger, but as I've grown older and watched some of the stuff that she did, you know, like in her earlier years and 70s and 80s and stuff, I'm like, man, she's hilarious. I love her.
The thing I like about her is she's lightning quick.
Yeah.
She is so fast,
yeah.
You know, and she really plays to the crowd. I like that. She's able to interact well with her audience. And, you know, some of her bits are really funny, you know, not very clean, but so they're not really conducive to our show. But she's really funny at times. And I think it was I was sad when she died, when I'd heard that she had passed away.
Me too.
I questioned what happened to her and her death.
Me too. Yeah.
Kind of weird, but anyway. So hope you all enjoyed that. Now let's shake things up a little bit. How about we do that this time? I'm going to do the positive emotions in scripture. So we can talk about that for a minute, but we've got like what, maybe 15 minutes left.
About 16. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So we still got a couple segments to get through, but for positive affirmations in scripture, again, emails, phone calls, texts have been about people who are mostly the last couple of weeks since I've spoken to you as financially struggling. So they're wanting to know ways. And as you know, it's not a matter of just rubbing a lamp and immediately abundance will come to you, but keeping your attitude and your mindset positive definitely will help the situation. Don't let things get you down. Don't get depressed. And the more positive you see these affirmations, eventually you start to believe them. As always, you know, put them on your phone, put them on a post-it note or a card and keep it with you and say, okay. And scripture, it will help. But with so many people struggling financially, abundance has been a big one for the last couple of weeks. And so this week's affirmation is, I celebrate the abundance of others, knowing that my joy and celebration increases my own abundance. And that's very important for everybody to remember. If you want something positive, when you're able to be happy for your fellow man and be positive in the they're sharing, even if your situation isn't the best right now, you know, go with it from your heart. Don't be jealous. I've gotten a lot of that too the last couple of weeks, where people are looking at someone else and what they have as opposed to what the individual themselves has. And that gets difficult at times, because when you prohibit yourself from being happy for other people, you're coming from more of a negative standpoint. And it really doesn't help you, as tough as it is, when you're struggling. I know that it's hard to see, you know, maybe down the street doing a lot better than you are at the moment. But always know that, you know, if you keep a positive attitude and you're hopeful, things will get better. Things will always get better. And there are always people around to help you. Call somebody, you know, talk to somebody. Be creative in your financial ventures. You know, if there's a talent that you're good at, maybe explore that and see if it's a way that you could possibly put it on Etsy or Pinterest and make some extra money that way. Explore different options. Don't stay in the box. But most importantly, be thankful for people around you that are doing well and you know, having blessings, because your time will come. And the more thankful that you are, the more positive you are to other people, it's only going to benefit you in the long run. Because, you know, the guy down the street who's doing better than you, when you need something or assistance, he may be able to help you. You know, he may be able to help you on your journey. But when we come from that attitude, from a positive aspect, and being thankful for people who are succeeding or doing better in our lives. It gives us something to strive for, gives us something to look toward. We may be more self-motivated if we look at it from the correct frame of mind or from a positive frame of mind, to aspire to what they've achieved.
I'll give you a real world example, actually, Maggie. For me, in my younger years, especially, and you know, even up until not all really that long ago, I had troubles struggling with jealousy over seeing people being successful or doing things like that I've wanted to do for years and have been struggling with for years trying to be a success at. And it was troubling to me. You know, it was very troubling, very stressful sort of a situation to be in sometimes. And what it took to change it is something that I learned a long time ago is instead of being jealous over it, I started to realize, you know, this is an opportunity for me to learn from them how they were successful, how they're able to do what it is that they've done. And then I can use that myself, you see, to make it myself being in that position, you see. And again, then.
Exactly.
And again, also the idea of everything happens for a reason. You're in the situation that you're in for a reason. Maybe there's, you know, a lesson that you're needing to learn. Maybe there's something that you wanted to learn in this lifetime about, you know, whatever it is. And so you might be struggling so that you can have that lesson come through. I look at that with my blindness, for instance. I've kind of wondered, you know, maybe in my previous life or in you know, my choice in this life, I wanted to learn how to be more reliant upon other people. So, you know, the blindness definitely facilitates me having to have that, you know, as a thing, right? So I don't look at it as a jealousy thing anymore. I don't look at it as I want this or I want that. No, I look at it as, well, what can I learn from that person who's been successful? And then I can use that in my own life.
Absolutely. And it is, you know, a lot of people don't look at the whole picture. They see what a person has. We're so material as a society, you know, that a lot of us look at, well, that person has a better home or that person has a lot of money in the bank or drives a nicer vehicle. But most times when you look at the entire situation as a whole, that person may be struggling with a loss. They may have lost a child. You know, they may have a very, very bad personal relationship at home to their spouse. They may be struggling with something like that. They may have a closet addiction that you don't know about. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you really don't know another person's life until you've walked in their shoes. Just because they seem to be doing well on the outside doesn't mean that they're whole on the inside and that there aren't issues that they're struggling with. So if we all kind of take that into consideration a little bit more and look at the blessings that you have every single day. You're here, you know, you have your health, you have your family, you know, you have a couple of two beautiful days this summer to enjoy. You know, look at the little things. And when you find blessings in the little things, you'll be more open-minded to find blessings that come to you down the line and appreciate them more. And sometimes that's a huge lesson for people to learn, is that when they're struggling, when they finally get to the point where they need to be or acquire the things that they need to have, you know, whether it be a job or the extra money to pay the bills or, you know, to be able to put in a garden to be able to grow their own food, they'll appreciate it that much more. You'll appreciate it that much more when it does come to you. So my King James Version was Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So it's basically along the same lines as I celebrate the abundance of others, knowing that my joy and celebration increases my own abundance. Have faith and know that things will get better. And, you know, try and take an outside point or an outside view of that person's life and maybe realize that there are other things going on that you don't know about, blessings that you have. You may have a very close family relationship, and that's something that maybe that person down the street who has a nice car has been wanting all of their life. You know, they may be alone and they have nobody that's sharing their home with them that they can enjoy meals with or laugh with or, you know, play a card game with, things like that. So there you go. I'm off my soapbox for the week, but that's my positive affirmations in scripture. And things my dad said is going to take a couple of minutes because I think we're going to get into it a little bit. So do you want to go ahead with dancing and jamming music while we go pee?
Sure, we can do that. No problem at all. I hope you guys
enjoy
this one.
Okay, go for it, Webby.
I hope you guys enjoy this one. Who's this? This is Hip Conspiracy, right?
Hip Conspiracy. Okay, these are a group of college students out of Rochester, New York, and they were brought to me through my friend who's actually friends, there you go, networking, who's actually friends with one of the kids' mothers in the group. And that's how this group was brought to my attention. They're amazing. And you can catch them on Bandcamp, Spotify, and iTunes. Check them out, Hip Conspiracy. Their online digital album is only $7. I think it was Bandcamp I bought it. But it's amazing stuff. It's totally creative. It's different. It's original. It's kind of bluesy, jazzy, a lot of horns. Listen to it and see what you think and give them a shot. Support them because they're really great guys. I was just able to get a deal with them so that I can play their music on my 4 shows, and I'm really excited. They've got really cool stuff. We've got to cut this song short, though, because it's like 7 minutes and change. So I had to play it from a really cool spot to the end. The whole song's cool, don't get me wrong, but we don't have 8 minutes to play the whole song. So
exactly.
Tell me what you think. I'm really, really anxious to hear what you think. I know you're going to love them.
All righty. Well, here you guys go. Enjoy Hip Conspiracy. So there you guys go, the Hip Conspiracy. Really cool music. I like the jazzy, bluesy feel to it, definitely.
Aren't they awesome? You would think they're, like, super professional. You wouldn't think that these are college kids. Their stuff is so well put together.
They remind me a lot of the Mars Volta. I don't know if anybody out there has ever heard of them or not, but they're really good, too. And that's who they definitely have that same kind of a feeling to me.
Yeah. I thought they were totally cool. I was so happy that I was able to connect with these guys. And these guys, they're going to go places. I mean, it's obvious. They're so well put together. They're so smooth. They put so much effort into their music. You can just hear it. And it's really eclectic. I love it. So there you go. That's Hip Conspiracy. Bandcamp, Spotify, and iTunes. Check them out and give them a listen. Support these guys.
And just to let you know, we've got about 3 minutes left. So.
Oh, man. Things my dad says. Okay, with the wake of the hurricane, be prepared. My dad is always one for, you know, I'm not a big one for watching the weather, you know that. But if you see a storm coming and you're able to do even minor preparations, get extra gas in your vehicle. Maybe if you're able to go to the grocery store and get a few extra groceries and some bottled water and put that by, keep it in the house for when you need it. You know, if you have kids away at school, and they're in the wake of a potential storm, make sure that they have the essentials that they need. Make sure that if you're not able to get to them, you know, they get out to the store and get things that they need in the house, just in case you lose power. If you're fortunate enough to have a generator, you know, make sure that that's gassed up and ready to go. A lot of us don't have things like that nowadays, but prepare as much as you can when you see these potential disasters coming, because even if it's something that you may not need, again, in the spirit of community, you know, if you're in a really severe situation, you may have something that your neighbor may need that potentially could be life-saving to them, you know. So network, you know, get with your neighbors when you see something like this coming. Maybe develop a disaster plan. I read an article on, I think it was Facebook, about a couple that was pregnant that was living in Texas that was from this area that actually flew home a couple of days before their baby's birth because they heard the storm was coming so that they could ensure a safe environment for their child when their child was being born. So that's my things my dad says. And I know that we could just go on and on for hours about this because you and I are big fans of, you know, making sure that when there's a potential disaster or a bad storm coming in that we have, you know, candles and flashlights and things like that. So there you go. Be prepared. It only takes a couple of minutes of your time sometimes to put those batteries in that flashlight or, you know, maybe make sure you have wood for your wood stove or a fireplace if you have that with winter coming.
I'll just toss out real quick here at the end. If for food, for instance, every time that you go shopping, most people go shopping once a week. Every time that you go shopping, buy 10 extra cans of food. It costs you maybe a couple of extra bucks depending on what kind of cans you get, you know, vegetables, green beans, carrots, whatever the case may be. But most people go shopping once a week. And if you go shopping once a week and you do that 10 cans each time, by the end of the month, you've got 40 cans of food. That's a lot of food. Okay, so, you know, don't disparage the easy, you know, just do it a little bit at a time thing.
Yeah, and these stores have, like, awesome sales sometimes on, you know, like green beans and canned goods, you know, what are the 3 for $1 now? It used to be 10 for $1, now it's like 3 for $1.
Exactly.
But, and I shared on a previous episode, too, with the solar lights. You can seriously go, like, to Dollar Tree and pick up those solar lanterns, you know, the solar lights a lot of people put in their driveway for $1. And I've shared this before on a previous episode. My dad's a huge fan of this. He'll go and get like 15, 20 of them at a time, keep them charged upstairs in like in a window or, you know, a lighted window and let them charge so that when you're out of power, you have those and you don't need batteries. You don't need an electrical source, but at least you'll have lighting in your home if nothing else. Kids love them. You know, you can play medieval. We've done it with kids. You know, you play castle and you could put them around the walls like sconces and let the kids carry them through the home. And also, when you have small children, it's a safe way for them to have a light source. They're not playing with candles. They're not playing with fire, if you don't have flashlight batteries. So there you go. That's my thing my dad says for the week.
Alrighty.
Ira, thanks so much for all you do. It's been a great episode. I hope you're feeling better soon and you get the rest that you need.
You too, my dear, and thank you everybody out there for tuning in. We will be back with you, God willing, next week, and keep safe out there. Have fun no matter what it is that you're doing. We'll talk to you again soon. Play a
Happy Labor Day.
Spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world. Breathe a little clean fresh air. Find a place to offer up a silent prayer.